want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to this podcast today. I'm going to be talking about how God gave the revelation to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote it in Colossians 2 and in Ephesians 2 about how the law had to be erased from our heart and done away with, and how we had to have the old man slayed to become a new creature in Christ. First, let me pray for everybody. Father, I just pray for all that are in authority. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, all the judges of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I just give thanks for your body, the body of Christ. I thank you for pouring out a spirit of wisdom and revelation upon them and opening the eyes of their understanding. All right. You know, I've heard people say all my life, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And they would say this because they couldn't stop sinning, or they had one sin or another they were bound with, but they knew they'd received the Lord and they were saved. So they said, well, that's, you know, I still sin, but I'm saved. And I'm not saying this to put anyone down. We've all had our struggles, and I have, believe me, I've had my struggles with guilt and sin. But thank God we can all be delivered. And, you know, I thought about, you know, what a miserable existence it is to be a slave to sin and have to walk around always feeling bad about it. And that's the very existence of a person bound by the law of Moses under the power of sin. You know, but thank God, you know, there's deliverance from the law and sin's power. You know, and I've heard people say that Jesus talked about, you know, they're always trying to find a way to try to keep the Ten Commandments in. And they say, well, Jesus talked about keeping his commandments. And so they say, well, he was talking about keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, first of all, the Ten Commandments were given by Moses, not Jesus. And secondarily, Jesus never said to keep the Ten Commandments. Now, it did say in Matthew 5:17, it looked like he was talking about keeping the Ten Commandments, but he said, until it's fulfilled. Okay, I didn't write the scripture down, but you can go look at it. The law, not one jot or tittle would pass from the law till all be fulfilled. But he starts off in verse 17 of the fifth chapter of Matthew saying, I came to fulfill it. And Jesus fulfilled everything God sent him to do. And Jesus also said our righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. That's in verse 20. And he gives us an example of that, of how, you know, I say unto you, or it's written of old, thou shalt not kill, but I say if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. In other words, the Lord is, he's taken us from the old covenant where we're not to commit an outward act of sin to the new covenant where we're not to be angry inside. And you can see the law of Moses teaches acts we should not do, but the new covenant deals with our heart. Puts to death sin in our heart. We go from the outward actions to the inward. We get to the root of the problem when you get to the new covenant. It's when you get to the new covenant, you get a new heart. And, you know, in verse 27 of Matthew 5, you can turn if you want to follow what I'm saying. Jesus said, you have heard of old, he's referring to the old covenant, or the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now remember, Jesus is taking us from the old to the new. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committed adultery with her, art in his heart. Now, Jesus has shown us the difference between the law of Moses and his words. And the law of Moses commanded us not to do something, but, you know, by discipline ourselves not to do it. Now, in the new covenant, we discipline ourselves not to do it, but we use our faith to reckon the old man dead. And the combination of putting off or using our will not to yield to sin and believing the sin was laid upon the body of Christ will cause it to pass away. Okay? And see, under the old covenant, you just keep trying not to yield to it, but the sin in you remains. All right? And the law keeps activating it and making sin rule over you. So, you know, Christians are bound in one area or another. And you know, like I said, they'll say they're a sinner saved by grace because they don't know how to get rid of the sin. But their problem is they keep wanting to keep the law of Moses. And they don't have a revelation of water baptism and the old man, which is sin in them, and that it was crucified with Christ on the cross. And it passes away as you believe this, as you believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, as you believe he was crucified with Christ. And as you see, water baptism is just a way to receive what Jesus did on the cross to crucify the old man. All right. And then our obedience, of course, is to keep putting off the old man. You can find that later in Paul's epistles. Okay. Turn to Romans 7:14, International Standard Version. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am merely human, sold as a slave to sin. Okay. Turn to Romans 3:9. We're going to look at being under sin, being a slave to sin. Contemporary English version. What does all this mean? Does it mean we Jews are better off than the Gentiles? No, it doesn't. Jews as well as Gentiles are ruled by sin. Just as I've said. See, we're all under sin. Jew, Gentile, we're all merely human, sold as slaves to sin. That's what Adam did when he committed sin in the garden. Sin passed upon all men. We're born with it. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come to God. When we come to God, there's certain sins that we can turn from. You know, we go, okay, that's wrong, and we just put them out of our life. But then we're going to find out there's certain things we're in slavery to. We're under the power of sin, and we can't stop it. We can't get out. And the only way to get out is faith in God. Okay? That's why you don't just preach repentance. You have to mix it with faith. You have to preach faith also. See, we see in Romans 5:20 and in Romans 7:5 and 7:8-10 that the law of Moses makes sin come alive in us and makes us sin more. Okay? So, this is what happens. You become a Christian. You begin to, you start turning away from things you know are wrong. Then you start trying to, then you find that you're in slavery to sins. But you believe and that you're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. And then you have ministers tell you to believe it. And you're blessed if you had a minister tell you not to, that you weren't under it. But that still doesn't get you out of it. You're going to have to get the revelation. We're going to get into that, how to get out of it. But if you don't know these things, it'll make sin rule over you, and it'll make sin come alive in you. Okay, now this is what we should be preaching. This is what ministers should be preaching. Matthew 28:19. This is the commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're to preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get people baptized in water and in the Spirit. Teach them to obey the words of the New Testament. And this is how you make a Christian out of them. You can't find anywhere in a commission that says preach the Ten Commandments. You can't find anywhere in the New Testament that tells you to preach the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? The one place where people quote where Jesus said about one jot or tittle, he said until it's fulfilled. He said, I came to fulfill it. And you can see in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, when they came and tried to implement the law of Moses, the apostles said, we gave no such commandment. And that was over 2,000 years ago, folks. It's about time we wake up and go, oh my God. And then you can see Paul's writing. He says it makes us sin more, makes sin come alive. 1 Corinthians 15:56, it's the strength of sin. On and on and on, but they keep doing it. And then they keep trying to say, well, now Jesus said it like John 14:15. If you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 14, then go up to verse 21. He that hath my commandments, keepeth them. He that is the love of me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I'll love him and manifest myself to him. So then there's people that say, well, now Jesus is saying to keep the Ten Commandments. He's not referring to the Ten Commandments. He's telling us to keep his words. You know? Turn to the 14th chapter, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me, verse 24, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's, which sent me. Okay? Now, if you wonder why I keep speaking about the sin nature in the old man has to be put to death and getting delivered from the law of Moses, why I keep telling you these two things, talking about these two things, is because they must take place to become a new creature in Christ. And I opened the podcast out saying this. This is the revelation that the Apostle Paul, that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Turn to Colossians 2:10 or 2:11. And I'm going to read the complete Jewish Bible. Also, it was in union with him that you were circumcised with the circumcision, not made by human hands, but accomplished by stripping away the old nature's control over the body in this circumcision done by the Messiah. Now, this part I'm not convinced of. I don't know if this circumcision is being crucified with Christ, but I'm considering it. Anyway, verse 12. This part I'm sure of. Buried with him in baptism. That's water baptism. Where have you also, and we know we're crucified with Christ. And it says that in the 6th chapter, that we're crucified with Christ, and it's talking about water baptism. So we know that's where the old man was crucified with. I do believe this circumcision is that, but I'm not totally convinced. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Let's read verse 13 in the New Living Translation. And you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sin. Here again, this circumcision looks like being crucified with Christ, but I'm not totally convinced. Okay, now look at this. So we know the old man was crucified with Christ. We know that from the 6th chapter of Romans. And we know we're buried with him by water baptism. That's how we receive being crucified with Christ. Now, we're in Colossians 2, verse 14, and we're going to look at getting rid of the law. Okay. Blotting, erasing, that's what blotting means, erasing out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. It was against us. Took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. Now, this scripture is mistranslated by many of the translators saying God blotted out or erased the trespasses or the violations of the ordinance we had done. You know, in other words, they're saying he's blotting out our sins that we'd done. And he did do that, but that's not what it's talking about here. And nailed it to the cross. But it doesn't say anything about the trespasses here. And it's correct. I believe it's correctly translated in the King James Version. God blotted out the ordinance, not the trespass or the, not the trespass of the ordinance. See it? He blotted out the ordinance, not the trespass of the ordinance. The Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. And here it says the handwriting of ordinance was erased when it was nailed to the cross. It was erased. Where was the law erased from? This is very important because we're talking about, this is the revelation that Paul gave the apostle. And Paul wasn't with Jesus. He got this by revelation and he wrote it down. And Paul wrote down about one third of the New Testament. So you ought to take heed to what Paul wrote. Of course, you ought to take heed to the whole New Testament. Okay, Romans 2:14. Where was the law erased from? New Living Translation. Even Gentiles who do not have law, God's written law, show that they know this law when they indistinctively obey it, even without having heard it. Okay, causes them to obey the law. Why? Verse 15. They demonstrate God's law written in their hearts for their conscience. Oh, there it is. There's where the law is written in their hearts. For their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them. or tell them they're doing right. Okay, so God wrote the law of Moses in our hearts. So we just read verse 15, Romans 2. Read it, keep reading it till you get it. He wrote the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, in our heart, and it accuses us. And we saw in, we didn't read that today, but in Romans 3:19, it says, by the laws of knowledge of sin, and that's good. We needed to have the knowledge of sin, and it makes us guilty, but it's only until we come to Christ and we're no longer under. And that's, I think, Galatians 5:23-24, somewhere. It's in there. Okay, so God wrote the law of Moses in our hearts. It accuses us. And as we believe the gospel, one of the things Jesus accomplished on the cross was he nailed the law to the cross. And as we believe that, we have the law of Moses erased from our heart. Now, we talked about how the law works on the sin in us. It makes us become exceedingly sinful. Okay? Like I said, you come to God, oh, there's certain sins you put out of your life right away. There's certain sins I can stop. I don't have any problem getting into certain sins. And the ones that are taken out of my heart, I don't have any problem with anymore. The ones that are still in my heart, I still struggle with. Okay, but I'm getting less and less where I struggle because I'm getting the law erased and I'm getting the sin put to death. Okay, so why, once again, why do we need the law erased from? It accuses us. It works on the sinners. It makes sin rule over us. It makes us exceedingly sinful. All right? If you can get that in your heart, what the law is doing to you, and see if you're guilty, you have no confidence towards God. If you have no confidence towards God, you can't get the grace to put to death the sin nature. You can't get the grace to get the law out of your heart. Because, see, so it's not easy to get out. This is why you need someone ministering to you. So, but you can believe, and that's what you have to do, is believe, right? Do they get your faith will get to work a little as you believe? Even though the law is making you guilty, even though the law is making sin rule over you, and you have to believe right through it and keep putting the law, or getting the law erased from you and keep putting to death the sin. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break and do a song. Let's do Battle Hymn of the Republic by Pamela Pontia.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. His truth is marching. The lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on, marching on, marching on,
Now turn to Romans 7:24, Amplified Bible. Wretched and miserable man that I am. Why? Well, let's read it. Who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt, mortal existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance. And how do I get delivered? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind serve the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. See why he's wretched? Now, if you put this in, read this in context, in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans, it's talking about how we have the law making us sin more and how we try to do that which we would not do and we keep doing it because it's sin in us. And it's the bondage of the law and the sin in our heart. And it says, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? I'm wretched. I'm miserable. So I've heard taught for many years we're new creatures in Christ when we first received the Lord. Yet here in Romans 7, we still have sin in us and the law in us, and we're wretched. Okay? Now, do you think this wretched, miserable creature that's bound by the law and bound by sin is a new creature in Christ? No. So ministers should, what they should be teaching is the revelation of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, what Jesus did on the cross, how we receive it through water baptism, using our faith to keep reckoning the old man, the sin in us dead, how to keep using our faith to believe the law was nailed to the cross and get it erased from our hearts. But instead, these ministers, or not all of them, there's some out there that teach we should keep the law of Moses. That's really good. Would to God, they would read the 15th chapter of the book of Acts where the apostles said, we gave no such commandment for you to implement the law with the gospel. And they should read that it makes you sin more and that the law makes sin abound in you and that the law shuts up your faith and the law makes you guilty and the law accuses you. But they keep teaching you to keep the law of Moses, and what they're doing is they're sowing more of that administration or ministry of death in us. And then they deny that we have any sin in us. They say, oh, you're a new creature in Christ. These old things have all passed away. So you've got people being taught doctrines that keep them in a place where they'll never get out. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:7. But if the ministration, this word ministration means ministry, if the ministration or ministry of death, now what is this? Written and engraved in stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his kind, which glory was to be done away. This is clearly the law of Moses that was written and engraved in stones. Okay? The Ten Commandments is a ministration of death. And it says this glory was done away with. How shall not the ministration or ministry of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now it's talking about the ministry of the Spirit that comes with the New Testament. Verse 9, for if the ministration or the ministry of condemnation be glory, and this ministration of condemnation is the Ten Commandments, much more does the ministration or ministry of righteousness exceeding glory. That's the ministration of the gospel. The new covenant brings righteousness. Now, do you believe these people preaching the Ten Commandments are blind? How could you preach death and condemnation to people? How could you preach something that makes sin abound? How could you preach something that makes people guilty, that shuts up their faith and keeps them from becoming a new creature in Christ? How could you preach that unless you're blind? Okay? I'm not here to condemn them, but I'm going to just continue to sound the wake-up call. To this very day, you can drive around and see places where they're putting the Ten Commandments on billboards. We had one man running for president. He wanted to put it in the Oval Office if he won the presidency. He was a governor of a state. We've got the governor of Texas saying that we ought to put the Ten Commandments up. They did pass a law where they're putting them up in the schools. The ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation, is unbelievable. It's like they never read the Bible. Okay? So the law of Moses, administration of death and condemnation. And that's why it says we have to be delivered from the body of death. And, you know, these people, and then one of the things these people say is if you say we don't have to keep the sin, they say, oh, are you saying we can go ahead and sin? No, we put to death sin by faith. He's crucified with Christ. See, you put off stuff you can just stop doing. Stuff you can't do is the sin in you, and you just put it to death. It's crucified with Christ. Okay, now turn to Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on the good works, as God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That's being made a new creature, and as I spoke about last week, it's a good work God started us. So God's making a new creature us. Now, we saw how in the second chapter of Colossians, the law had to be erased from our hearts, and the old man, the sin nature, had to be slaved for us to become a new creature in Christ. Now, turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to see the same thing. See? Paul wrote Colossians. He wrote Ephesians 2. Verse 14. For he is our peace, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition of truth. That's Jew and Gentile. Okay, making both one is God making Jew and Gentile one body in Christ, having abolished, erased in his flesh, the enmity. This word enmity is hostility, even the law of commandments. Okay, the law, the Ten Commandments, makes us hostile towards God. Another place it says, by the law causes us to have wrath. You ever have a problem of anger? It's the law of Moses in your heart. Okay, the law of commandments contained in ordinance to make, let me read the whole thing again, having abolished, erased in his flesh the enmity, the hostility, even the law of commandments. I'm not sure this one means erased. I think this one means destroyed or set aside. Okay, it's still being erased from our heart, but it means to be put aside, done away with. Okay, and that's the way it is. I mean, we could say erased, but that's not the exact definition of it. So having abolished, destroyed, put away in his flesh, that's on the cross, the enmity, the hostility, even the law of commandments, that's what causes us to be hostile towards God. So you go around preaching this law, that's why you're making all these young people and old alike, that's why you're making them hostile towards God. And look what the law, the Ten Commandments has produced all over America and all over the world, a bunch of rebellious people, and it makes sin in them abound. Okay, for to making himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. So you're responsible. You preachers are responsible for doing this. That is on your conscience. You did that to people. Okay, let's read 2:15, New International Version. By setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. That's Junta. Thus making peace. Okay. So he's making Jew and Gentile become one body and bringing them into peace of God. Okay. Have you, or do you still have experienced hostility towards God? It's the law in your heart. And we're brought into peace of God as we're made a new man in Christ. And one of the things God had to do was deliver us from the law. So Jesus abolished the law on the cross, the law of command. That law made us all hostile towards God. And like I said, the enmity is hostility. And the Lord abolished that hostility, abolished the law. Let's read 2:15 in the Amplified. By abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law, with its commandments contained in orders, which he satisfied, so that in himself he make the two into one man, therefore establishing peace. So right here it says abolishing the law is part of making a new man out of us, a new creature in Christ. And that he might, verse 16, reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now this is a different enmity. This is the old man. Okay? One he abolished in his flesh, and that was the law of commandments. This is him slaying, putting to death the old man, or the sin nature. So God abolished the law, he slayed the old man, And Jew and Gentile are reconciled back to God and made a new creature. So these two things need to take place to be made a new creature in Christ. Now, here again, some of the translators and some ministers think this is making peace between Jew and Gentile. No, this is talking about making peace between God and man. It talks about Jew and Gentile because we're all become the body of Christ, Jew and Gentiles. All right? I'm going to tell you, there's something about the law of Moses people can't seem to get around thinking that it was done away with. That's why the translators, they couldn't come out and say it was a law that was cause of the problem. They said it had to be Jew and Gentile being brought together, the hostility. But it was the hostility between God and man, and both Jew and Gentiles had that. Okay, Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Here it says the saints of God are built. This is our hearts being rebuilt, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, okay, so we as Gentiles, and see, this is all in the same chapter. We're no more strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and the households of God. Okay, God's chosen people, the Jews. And all the bitly, fritly framed together groweth into a holy temple of the Lord. Now, this building is not only individual members of the body of Christ that have their hearts rebuilt to become the temple of the Lord, but all the members of the body of Christ are joined together with Christ. See, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And Jew and Gentile become one body. Jesus Christ, the head of the body. You talk about a powerhouse, folks. I do not believe for 1 minute we've seen this in the earth yet. They don't even know. Many of them are still preaching the Ten Commandments. They're still saying that we have our body as a temple of the Holy Ghost since we received Lord. But yet here it says we have to be rebuilt for our body to be the temple. See, I know it says our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but it's not until your heart is rebuilt because you can't even hold the Spirit. Look at verse 22, whom ye also are building together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Let's read 20 to 22 in the English Standard Version. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone, whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. In him ye also are being built. See, it's talking about our hearts being built. It says, ye also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit, being indwelt by God. So it's talking about individual members becoming new creatures in Christ. And you have to take that with the earlier scriptures. And as the law, you know, as the law is erased from the heart, the old man is slain, the apostles and prophets are rebuilding the hearts. They're forming the new man. The new man's being formed in you. You know, Paul said he travailed in birth till Christ be formed in you. That's the new man. And God's people are being joined to the Lord, and we're all becoming the temple of God for God's Spirit to dwell in us. And you know what? Where it talks about the virgins in Matthew 25, who lamps are full of oil. Well, these are obviously God's people that have a rebuilt heart. And when the Lord comes, their lamps are full of oil. All right? I know you can pray and get filled up with the Spirit, but you can see, you'll learn by experience. You don't stay filled with the Spirit because of your old man. And God gave me the revelation of Luke 5:37-39, that the old man, the old bottle was the old man, and the new bottle is the new man. And you pour out the Spirit on the old bottle, and it makes the old bottle perish, which is good because it's putting to death the old man. But it says while this process is going on, the wine leaketh out. You can't stay filled with the Spirit. But it says the new man, or the new bottle, the new man, once he's formed, he, both are preserved, the new man and the Spirit. In other words, Spirit no longer leaks out. You hear that? It no longer leaks out. And then, so when the new man is being rebuilt, you stay filled with the Spirit all the time. And we'll be ready for the coming of the Lord when that happens. And I do not believe we've seen the new bottles formed. I do not believe we have a bunch of new creatures in Christ walking around. Oh, there's been some work in people's hearts. There's been some changes in people's heart. People have gotten rid of some of their old man. People have got some of the new man. Why? Because they keep the words of God and they pray in faith. What we're missing is the apostles and the prophets laying the foundation. And then the other ministers come along building that foundation. This is all talking about rebuilding the hearts of men and women to become the temple of the Lord. Okay, turn to Colossians 3:9, English Standard Version. For ye are God's fellow workers, ye are God's field, God's building. Who? We are. We're God's building. And we saw there's being built by the apostles and the prophets. So here it says we're God's field, and he wants to plant seed in this field and get a harvest. Now we're going to take a little detour, and then we're going to come back about being God's building, because I want to show you that the apostles and the prophets are building this building, and we're going to plant some righteousness, because we're also his field. We're going to plant righteousness in the field. Turn to Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, this is not talking about waiting to be brought into right standing with God, because this happened when we received the Lord. This is talking about bearing the fruit of righteousness, or our hearts bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You know, like I said, when we receive the Lord, we're brought into right standing with him instantaneously. And God puts a robe of righteousness, and he looks on us as we're righteous, even though he's doing a work of grace on the inside of us. While he's making us righteous on the inside, he's causing us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it says we're waiting on the hope of righteousness. Mark 4:26, he said unto them, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. He should sleep, rise night and day, seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn of the ear. So we're God's field. All right? He's planting righteousness in our field. Go back to verse 9. For we're God's fellow workers. I'm reading the English Standard Version. You're God's field, God's building. So we're God's building. And next verse says the Apostle Paul is the builder. According to the grace of God given unto me, like a skilled master builder. I remember, it was a couple of years ago, God was giving me this revelation about the temple of God. And I'd read before about laying the foundation. And I thought that was just laying down words in our heart. And it is. But those words laying in our heart makes you to become that type of person. And that's also building the temple. And I mean, I read that one day and I said, we're God's building. I said, oh my God, the Apostle Paul's the builder. He's rebuilding our heart. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I've laid the foundation, someone else is building upon it. Let each take care how he builds upon it. Okay? Our hearts are the building. Apostles and prophets are building those hearts, the foundation. Now, other ministers, pastors, teachers, eventually come and build on that building or our hearts after the foundation being built by the apostle prophet. So, you know, there's some, you know, that teaching where they say the apostles and prophets have passed away. Well, I'll tell you this, no apostles and prophets, no foundation. All right. So that, what is that? Doctrine of cessation is, which one minister just passed away, which many people hailed him as a great minister, yet he taught that doctrine. Well, he's wrong. All right, he's wrong, because apostles and prophets haven't passed away. They lay the foundation. You know, God, if the apostles and prophets passed away, we couldn't have a foundation. All right, so anyway, I could go on with this, but here again, I'm showing you numerous places. The old man has to be slayed. The law of Moses has to be erased from the heart for us to be built, the temple of the Lord, to be made a new creature in Christ. I'm telling you, this Bible all fits together. And if you're teaching part of it and it doesn't fit with the rest of it, you got it wrong. All right? Because once you get it right, it all starts fitting together. All right? Just like it looked like Jesus was saying we're supposed to keep the law. He said that he came to fulfill it. And he said, until one jot or tittle passed from the law, it will not pass away. Heaven and earth shall not pass away till, I'm not quoting that right, I can't remember it, till all be fulfilled. And he that teaches the Ten Commandments is greatest the kingdom of God. And he that doesn't teach is least in the kingdom. And you read right over that and think, Jesus tells us to keep the law, and we don't even see that the very first thing he said was, I came to fulfill it, and once it's fulfilled, it's done away with. All right? So you say, why does he do these things? Well, it's just like the mystery of the kingdom of God, which I speak about all the time. I spoke about it again in this podcast. I laid you out the mystery of the kingdom of God, if you had ears to hear. And Jesus said it was given to the disciples to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but everyone else, it was done in parables, that seeing they would see and not perceive, and hearing they would hear and not perceive. And you know what? Jesus turned right around to those that saw, because he gave them the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, it's not opened up plain in the Bible. God opened it up to me, and I can tell you what it says. I did. I've been telling it in a lot of podcasts, but I still don't make it as plain as I can. I can make it even plainer. But if you can hear what I'm saying about the mysteries of the kingdom of God, blessed are your eyes for what they can see, and your ears what they can hear. For you know why? Because Jesus said, many righteous men and prophets have desired to see those things that you've seen and hear those things that you've heard and have not heard them. That's the truth. And I read this many years ago, unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be a disciple. And so I said, well, I got to do that. And I endeavored to do it. And obviously I did it enough to get the mystery of the kingdom of God, because he gave it to me. So you can say what you want about me. But, you know, it says, the fear of the Lord is with, it says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, you know. And so say what you want about me, but I got the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and God doesn't give it to anybody but his disciples and those that fear him. It's just as simple as that. All right. Is there anyone out there, you've never been saved, never been born again? You know, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You can go to church and not have the Spirit of Christ in you. Do you know that? You can be a good person, not have the Spirit of Christ in you. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're none of his. Now, how do you get the Spirit of Christ in you? You just receive the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's many people that say receive Jesus, and then you get the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says if you receive Jesus, you get Jesus. You get the Spirit of Christ. And if you receive the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. That's how much confusion there is in the body of Christ. You don't say, Jesus, come in. I receive you, Lord Jesus. Now I got the Holy Spirit. No, you receive Jesus, you get Jesus. Y'all need to quit speaking confusion. I mean, it's just amazing the things you hear in the church. All right? So, say this prayer to me and you'll get the Spirit of Christ in you. And then you'll be saved, or the start of salvation. And as many as received him, received the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he right to be born, not of the will of the flesh nor of man, but of God. All right? So say this prayer, Lord Jesus, I just receive you. And you can, and those of you that you've already received, but you're just not sure, say this prayer. Jesus, I just receive you. I just receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead. And I receive you right now. You know, I wasn't sure many years ago when I was saved and I was at work and I walked around. I was quoting Romans 10. 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I kept walking around saying that. And I said, Jesus, your Lord, God raised you from the dead. And I thought, do I believe that? If I believe that, I'm saved. I kept saying, I finally stopped and I said, I believe that. I went, and it was time for me to take a break a little while after that, shortly after that. And I went to the break room and I sat down, and the peace of God came upon me. A strong peace came upon me. Why? Well, I made peace with God. See, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We make peace with God. All our sins are paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, what he did on the cross for us. I had peace with God that day. And while I was sitting there with the peace of God all over me, some spiritual person stuck their head through the wall, I think it was over by the door, and they looked at me, smiled, and then they were gone. They didn't even open the door. They just stuck their head. I think it was right through the door. I don't know if it was the Lord or an angel of God. But I knew that it happened. See, God is not like what you think he is. It says the angels of God are rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repented. God is so happy when you come to him. His angels rejoice. God is happy. God is not an angry person. He took out all his anger on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ so he wouldn't have to be angry with you. You want to know what God's like? Exodus 34:6. God declared what he's like. He said, I'm merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundance, and goodness and truth. All right? He loves you. He loves all of us. And through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved from wrath. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be delivered from all our sins, be made obedient to the faith, and become friends of God. All right? It's a great life, folks. There's some persevering to overcome our sin. There's some persevering to overcome the law. I've come out of terrible, terrible, terrible bondage to the law and guilt and bondage to sin. It's taken me a long time to get to where I'm at, and I'm not totally up. And I want to encourage you with this if you're out there. As I break through, I'm going to be able to help build your heart. God working through me. Not me, I can't do anything. But God working through my heart. This is what's missing in the body of Christ. Apostles and prophets that had this revelation that we can build the temple. We can rebuild the hearts of God's people. That's why Jesus said he gave the commission to the apostles and the prophets. He gave them the authority to go make Christians of all nations. That is to rebuild their hearts. That's what's written in the Bible, folks. I'm just telling you. And I saw it a couple of years ago and I said, oh my God. So those of you that have struggled with the law and guilt and bondage, struggled with this sin or that sin, the body of Christ will be raised up. There will be apostles and prophets laying the foundation. We know this is going to happen because God said he's coming back after a glorious church, and we can't get there until the apostles, prophet ministry is raised up. We're rebuilding the temple, the hearts of men and women, and the other ministers come behind and they help finish the rebuilding of the heart along with the apostles and the prophets. The body of Christ is raised up. We will become the habitation of God through the Spirit, and the body of Christ is walking in power in the earth. We were without spot or wrinkle. The Lord's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And then the rapture will take place. And that's at the end of the tribulation, not before it. So anyway, that's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.